probably committed the Lord's Prayer to memory, but have you committed to do more than just recite it? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah closes his series, Prayer, The Great Adventure, with some practical tools to help you use this well-known prayer for its intended purpose, as an outline for structuring your own prayers. To conclude his message, Intersections of Prayer, here's David.
Well, we have gotten a good start on this tutorial on how to use the Lord's Prayer for your own prayer. And I just want to remind you that the way this sort of works is you sit down to pray, and the first category you have are the priorities. After you've done your worship, you begin to pray, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then you start to ask yourself, what is it that I am doing? What am I engaged in? What are my actions and activities for this day? What are my priorities? Lord God, bless my priorities so that they become what you would want them to be if this prayer were being lived out in heaven. Lord, your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, praying your priorities. And we've been talking about the other aspects of the outline as we dig in once again to the intersections of prayer. Well, I have just a few days left in the month of May, and I want to tell you again how important it is that you interact with us. We look forward to hearing from you each and every month. Many of you are partners. You support us on a regular basis, and we're so thankful for your gifts and your support and your prayers. And many of you also help us periodically when the Lord speaks to your heart during the month of May, when you give a gift to Turning Point to help us in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God around the world. We want to give you a copy of this book, Prayer, The Great Adventure. And it's 260 pages. It's paperback. It is filled with all the information we've been sharing on the air during this month. It has a fully integrated scriptural index and topical index. All of the illustrations are footnoted. And then I have several outtakes from my prayer journal that I've inserted in this book, sort of to give you an example of how this works and how it's worked in my own life. So if you haven't already done so, there's still time. You can get involved in praying, and you can get involved in learning how to pray, and you can have a book on your shelf that you can pull down from time to time and know that God is using you to touch heaven on behalf of people whose feet are still on this earth. So be sure and ask for Prayer, The Great Adventure when you send your gift to Turning Point during the month of May. Well, let's open our Bibles once more to Matthew chapter 6. We've got the outline of this prayer in front of us, and now we're trying to determine how we can use it in a practical way. This is Intersections of Prayer Part 2, and we open our Bibles together right now. Pray your priorities. The only way I know to keep my priorities straight is to pray them every day, every single day. I can have a great list, and I'll make a new one when the year starts. I'll have some different things I want to do, but if I don't pray my priorities every day, they go away real quick. Have you noticed that? They don't stay focused. I know about all the little daytimers and the organizational charts and all these things you can do and how they tell you to write out your priorities and get a mission statement and all that. Let me just tell you, you can do that if you want to, but if you pray your priorities, you won't have to do any of that. Because every day before God, you will go through this list, and it will help you keep them in sync. And if you don't do that, you'll have a hard time. You'll have a hard time. Your priorities will shift to the pressure of life. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? Your priorities will shift, and they'll fit into the little space that life creates for them, and you will not be God's person as you want to be. Then, provision. Intersection number 3. I got some things, Lord, I need. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. This is the time now, having worshipped God, having focused your priorities, you come and say, now, Lord, here are the things that I need. I've been learning a lot about me. But I've learned, and maybe you'll identify with this, sometimes when there's a lot of things on your mind, the first thing when you wake up in the morning, those things are all there. Have you noticed? I don't know what there is about getting up in the morning, especially maybe you thought about them during the night or before you went to bed. And I've had to find a way to release those things. And I release a lot of them right here. When I'm praying, if I'm using my journal, I will just sit down and say, now, Lord, I got this sense in the back of my mind that there's some things that are bothering me, some needs we have. As a church, I mean, we got a lot of places for needs to grow. in the church, in the college, in the school district, at Turning Point, in my own personal life. And so I just started, Lord, I'm going to release these things to you right now. And I get my little computer, and I got a little thing that makes bullets, you know, when you make the little bullet. And I just put them all down as fast as I can. I just write them all down. And as soon as I write them down and I see them, it's just like I'm giving them to God. Now I said, Lord, here's my needs. These seem overwhelming to me, especially when I don't really crystallize and focus on them. But when I give them to you, they don't seem like that much, for you're the God of heaven. And I give my needs to God. And I say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And you remember when we studied this, we talked about the fact that we have to distinguish between our needs and our wants. You know, God may want you to have a Hyundai, and you want a Cadillac. And you might go to God and say, Lord, give me a Cadillac. And God's going to say, no, you need a Hyundai. I didn't promise you what you wanted. I promised you what you needed. So drive the Hyundai. Now, does the Hyundai get you where you're going? Yeah, it does. Some people think that God's obligated to answer your fantasies. Lord, give me my fantasies. No, no, no. No, your wants. Give us our bread. And when you pray this way, let me tell you something, it will keep you from worrying. I mean, we all have a tendency to worry some, but if you really get a hold of this, you won't have to worry. Why? Who's responsible for your needs? God is. And when you bring your needs to Him, He will help you. It's incredible to me how many Christian people I have talked to during this series who have come and said, well, Pastor, I have, you know, look at my needs. And I'll ask them, did you ask God for them? Well, no. He knows, doesn't He? That's not what the prayer says. The prayer says you're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Then when you do that, you can give that to God. That's what happens when I release this list to the Lord in the morning. I give it up to Him. I don't worry about it anymore. Do I get all those things answered in this day? No, but it's interesting when you go back and look how God picks those off in His own time, doesn't He? He just takes care of things in His own time. And then you go back and look at the list you wrote 6 months ago, and you kind of smile and you say, Lord, look what you've done. It's wonderful. We do not have a great enough sense as God's people of the way God provides for us. And you know what else we don't do? If I can just get off on a side for a moment. When He does provide, we're not always really careful to thank Him, are we? I used to say this in my prayers. I kind of grew up with this little phrase. I guess maybe I heard it in church somewhere. That's how we learn to say all these Christianese things we learn, you know. I would end my prayer and say, and we will be careful to give you the praise. And I discovered something. I wasn't very careful. I wasn't doing that. I try not to say that because I find that in my own human realm, I'm not always careful. God does a lot of things for me I ask Him to do, and I forget to thank Him. I'm getting better at it now that I'm keeping track of it in writing. But oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know that God is our provider. Harry Ironside, who was at one time a church in Chicago, the pastor of the Moody Church, tells a story about one day going into a cafeteria to eat. And when he took his tray and he looked around for a place to sit, there weren't any empty chairs except one chair at a table. And there was someone sitting across from him. He went over and asked the guy, can I sit down here? And he said, grunted something. And so Ironside took that as a yes and he sat down. He took his food off his tray and he bowed his head and prayed, give thanks to the Lord. When he looked up, he saw the guy was looking at him with this weird expression. And the man said to him, what's the matter? Is there something wrong with your food? Ironside said, no, I don't think so. It seems all right to me. And the man said, well, have you got a headache or something? Ironside said, no, I don't have a headache. Why do you ask? He said, well, he said, I noticed you bowing down, putting your hand up to your head and closing your eyes. I thought maybe there was something wrong with your head. Dr. Ironside said, I was just saying thanks to God for my food. Oh, the man said, so you believe in that stuff. You're one of those. And Dr. Ironside said, don't you ever give thanks? And the stranger responded, I don't believe in giving thanks for anything. I just start right in. Dr. Ironside responded, oh, you're just like my dog. He never gives thanks either. He just starts right in. You know, that's not a good way to be, is it? Why can't we just bow our heads and say thanks? For He's the provider, isn't He? He's the provider. I can't spend time on the rest of these much, but let me just remind you again that when you're finished asking God for provision, then you deal with personal relationships. That's the next thing. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we learned about that, didn't we? That if you pray this prayer every day, you'll always get along with everybody. You'll never have any long-term relational problems because you won't be able to deal with them. Because every day when you pray this prayer, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, you're saying, Lord, if I don't deal with my problems, you're not going to deal with my problems. So, Lord, who is it? And you know what? It's interesting to me that when you pray this, if there's something a little bit wrong with somebody in your life, in your family or in your relationships, it comes right to the top just like that. I can't get over how God does that. You may not even be aware that you've offended somebody or someone else's. And when you pray this prayer, God gives you this ultra sensitivity of a relationship that's out of sync and you have to go get it right. And you remember, we talked about how we're to forgive because we have been forgiven. We're to forgive just as we are forgiven. We're to forgive before we need to forgive. And we're to forgive always, 70 times 7. And we're always to forgive, taking the initiative ourselves. And that's the way it works. One of the verses says this. If you come to the altar and you know that your brother has aught against you. Now watch this. Leave your gift at the altar, go get it right with your brother, and then come back and worship. The other verse says, if you come to the altar and you know that you have aught against your brother, leave your gift, go get your brother, get it right, and then come back. Now watch this. If your brother has aught against you, you go. If you have aught against your brother, you go. Whose turn is it? It's always your turn. And some of you married couples, you're leaning off this side of the bed, he's leaning off this side of the bed. You just had a big fight before you went to bed. And you're laying over here saying, I ain't talking to her the first time. The last time this happened, I initiated it, the forgiveness thing, and I'm not doing it again. It's her turn. I hope you fall out of bed. Now watch this, mister. You just go ahead and do it because you're the godly one, and the godly one always initiates. You see what I'm saying? And you can just feel so good about the fact you have initiated the forgiveness because what does it say? It's always your turn. And you can do it too, ma'am. Whoever senses that the relationship is broken, what do? They take the step to get it right. Who cares later on who initiated it as long as it comes back together and the forgiveness thing is wrought? Isn't that true? I guess when we get to eternity, we may be able to ask how many relationships have been destroyed because somebody was waiting because they didn't think it was their turn. God has once and for all settled that issue when it comes to forgiveness. So when you come to the Lord in prayer and you say, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and He brings to your mind somebody you need to take care of, don't you sit around and argue with yourself that they may have done something to you that was worse than what you think you may have done. You just go get that person and get it right. That's what this prayer will do for you. Personal relationships. And then, protection. How we need to pray this one. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh God, today I pray that you will not put me in the path of temptation and sin. Lord, don't lead me in a direction where there's a possibility of my failure. Because I know whenever there's temptation, there's always two things that can happen. You can succeed and you can fail. And Lord, I don't even want to take the chance. So keep me out of the way of temptation. And Lord, the evil one's ever around, seeking whom he may devour. Deliver me from the evil one. I need your help today. Lord, protect me. Put a hedge around me. Put a hedge around my children. Keep me. Lord, I revel in this truth that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of trial. So I pray this prayer to you, God. Protect me today. Protect my loved ones. There's a story out of the life of Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, that illustrates how important to pray this prayer. He was just a young man, just getting started out as a missionary. Certainly didn't know a lot of the things he knew later on. But in his early days, he was on his way from Swatow to the great city of Shanghai. He was going to Shanghai because all of his medical instruments and medicines were there, and he needed them to go back to the city of Swatow so he could carry out his medical practice there. Well, he got to Shanghai and discovered to his tremendous disappointment that the building in which all of his medical supplies had been housed had burnt to the ground and everything that he owned had been destroyed. He didn't know what to do.
So he thought, he tried to plan what to do, and he decided that the best thing he could do was to go down the canals to the city of Ningpo, where he could buy some supplies from another missionary. So he took this arduous journey down the canal, and it was terribly hot, and it was miserable. He worked his way down the canal, and when he got to the end of the canals, he had to engage some guys to help carry his baggage up over the mountains, and he hired this group, started out ahead. At a given point, he had to wait through a long, hot afternoon for them to catch up, and it suddenly dawned on him that all of his guys were opium smokers, and they had no energy to get anything over the mountains, so he dismissed them all. There was one good one left. He hired him as his leader and told him to go out and get some other guys. He went and did it. They took his baggage and went on ahead of Hudson Taylor, and he never saw him again. They took his baggage and went to the mountains and kept it for themselves. He was having a bad day. He was completely discouraged and tired. He didn't know what to do. He went to the city and tried to get a place to sleep. They finally directed him to this one inn. He got there. It was rat infested, bed bug infested, and he had a terrible night. Didn't sleep at all. The next morning, he decided to press on to the coast, and after a long and hot and terribly discouraging march, he entered a city to try to find a place to sleep. He was turned out of every single inn in the city, and the police began to shadow him. He didn't know what to do. They thought he was a crook or something. Finally, some young guy came up to him and said, "I'll show you around and help you." And he traipsed around the city with it, going nowhere. Finally sat down on the steps of a temple, and there were three thieves around him. He couldn't sleep because he knew as soon as he shut his eyes, those guys would rob him blind, and he wouldn't have one thing left even on his person. The next morning, the young man who showed him around the night before came back and tried to get an exorbitant fee from him for being his guy. Now, Hudson Taylor was a really spiritual man, but at this moment in time, he lost it. And he grabbed hold of that young man, and he shook him, said a few choice things to him, and told him to shut up and get out of his life. And then he was broken and weary and dispirited. He started the long journey back to Shanghai. In his journal, he says that on the way back, he began to feel such a sense of defeat in his own life. Not only had all these things befallen him, but he had then lost his own testimony in the way he dealt with them. And he began to realize that at the core of this whole issue was that when these problems started, he had done everything except the most important thing. He had never gone to God and said, "Help me, show me what to do." He had let his own human ingenuity take over, and he started figuring out the plan. "Well, I don't know what to do here, so I'll do this, and then I'll do this." And everything he had tried had failed. And he never had given it to God. And in the process, let me tell you what happens when you do that. It's a given. When you refuse to give it up to God, there are three things that will always happen to you. Frustration, fatigue, and failure. They will always happen. I am living testimony to that. When you try to do it your way and you don't give it up to God, you can count on it. You will have frustration, fatigue, and failure. And Hudson Taylor had all of that. Finally, he got to Shanghai. And when he got there, there was a letter waiting for him. And the letter had a check in it for the exact amount to cover all of his losses. And he learned soon that if he had gone on to Swato, he would have arrived just in time to be put in prison and perhaps even executed. And all of the fretful worry and the gnawing fear and the despair and the perplexity that he'd experienced was totally unnecessary. The events might have been the same regardless of whether he prayed or not, but the emotions he experienced would have been totally different if he had just prayed, "Lord, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, I give this up to you." Then all along the way, he could have understood that God was at work. Ultimately, God had a plan. It had some detours in it that he had not understood because he had tried to do this all himself. I can testify to you that when you bring your life to God and you say to him, "I want you to take this. Lord, you lead me, but not into temptation. You deliver me from the evil one, and I trust you to do that." You can live every day, and even when things happen that you don't understand, you can say, "All things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to His purpose." God doesn't make any mistakes. But it's in the process of giving that up to Him at the beginning of the day. And then, of course, we come at last to the end of this prayer and praise again. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prayers now come full circle. We find ourselves again at praise. Worship seals all prayers at the front and at the back. And Jesus has taught us that we're to pray and always to pray with praise beginning and praise ending. Lord, I praise you for your sovereignty, for yours is the kingdom. I praise you for your authority, for yours is the power. I praise you for your majesty, for yours is the glory. I praise you for your eternality, for you are forever. Lord, I praise you. You can pray this prayer. You can take this, find a little notebook, put a section for each of the six intersections. Start keeping track of the things that you think fall under those categories. And you know what? It's going to be right for you. Because what did I say at the beginning? How do you learn to pray? You learn to pray by praying. You say, well, I'm going to study this for a little bit, Pastor, and I'm going to work on this and meditate. And I'll try to get the tape and I'll listen to it again. And then maybe as we get toward the first of the year, I could start on the 1st of January. No, start today. If not today, tomorrow. Find a place alone and say, God, I don't know that I know very much about praying, but I'm going to start where you told me to start. And I'm going to follow along the prayer journey, and I'm going to stop at every intersection along the way to remember the things you told us to pray about. I promise you that as you pray, you will learn how to pray better. And God will help you to learn how to pray with greater meaning. And then keep track of what He does. Write down the things He does for you. And it will encourage you to keep praying. For the world is waiting for God's people to get serious about prayer so that God can get serious about the world. And reaching men and women to Jesus Christ is a matter of prayer. He's given His life. He's given His Son. He's given the gift that we might have everlasting life. But He tells us in His Word that He limits Himself to some degree because of the prayers of His people. If we do not pray, there will be those who will not hear. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He may send laborers out into the field, for the fields are white. The Bible teaches us, if it teaches us anything, that we will never know the fullness of the blessing of God in our lives until we deal with the issue of prayer. And I want to encourage you to do. This is not about guilt. I haven't talked to you about how bad you are because you don't pray. I don't know how much you pray or don't pray. I don't want to make you feel guilty. Guilt doesn't motivate anyone. I want to tell you that you can do it. I want to say to you with all my heart, this is a plan that 'll work. And if you want to work another plan, get another plan. But get a plan for prayer and get after it. And if you need a little priming of the pump, go find a good book on prayer. The books by Becky Terabasi are great books on prayer. Read a chapter a day. Take a few notes from the book. Put it in your prayer journal and then pray. Men, we've got to pray. Women, we've got to pray if we're going to be God's people today. That's the passion in my heart, to take this that we have learned, put it in a package, a prayer kit, the prayer kit of Jesus. You go do it, will you? Will you do it?
Amen. Well, the next time you are in church or you're at a spiritual event and they want to recite the Lord's Prayer, I hope it will mean a lot more to you than it did before you listen to this series as you reflect upon all of these petitions that are so important to us even today. Tomorrow is the Friday edition of Turning Point, and I'm going to begin 2 days of teaching on this question, why don't my prayers get answered? And we'll talk about that tomorrow as we finish out the month of May on the subject of prayer. I am very excited that we have printed materials to share with you. First of all, we have a magazine that goes out from the Turning Point office every month. It's called Turning Points Magazine and Devotional, and it provides devotional content for you for each day of the week, Monday through Friday, one for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Many articles on subjects to help you grow in your understanding of the Word of God. And we'd like you to get this magazine. If you're not getting it already, simply call us, write us, go to our website, request your copy of this magazine, and we'll see that it gets to you the next time they're delivered. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. where you'll find two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point with a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine and our daily email devotion. Just sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new book, 30 Days of Prayer, with specific prayers for your needs. Also available, his book, Prayer, the Great Adventure. Either one is yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New International Version and in standard or large print in the New King James. Get details when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow for Why Don't My Prayers Get Answered on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.